Hi, this is DJ. This is the Joel 2 Generation podcast. And I am entitling this podcast Fear Extinguishers 4.0, just continuing on with the stories of what we are seeing God do as we seek to step out in the midst of ever-growing restrictions and limitations. Trying to take this message of the kingdom to people who are outside of our churches, outside of our communities. Don't get me wrong. I think it's awesome that the church is able to do so much connecting and utilizing social media and whatever they're doing for their services, the live streams, Zoom meetings, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that the vast majority of people that we are, living around are completely untouched by this message that we carry. And the only way that we are going to be able to bring it to them is if we can be interacting with them. So I thought it would be good to update, to go from a 3.0 to this fourth message, because just yesterday we had some new restrictions, some new limitations put on what we're able to do, and it has been challenging because the predominant way over the last couple of weeks that we've been able to minister out and about is that we've been able to go into restaurants and or coffee shops, be that Starbucks, Costa, Caribou, all the different coffee chains that are global. We've been able to go into these places and literally pray with people that are working there. Sometimes people that would be going in to pick up coffee or pick up food. But for the most part, people have been ordering their food to be delivered by delivery services, and or if there's a drive-through window, some people have been utilizing that. So it just is leaving all of these employees from all over the world. I mean, I live in a nation. I understand. I just got a statistic that there literally are 100 nations that live in this small country. And we've been encountering many, many of those nations as we've been going out. But anyway, yesterday when we went on, the daily prayer walk that my wife and I have been going on, these long prayer walks, getting out, doing the kinds of things that we should be doing, getting in the sun, getting exercise, really, really important for our immune systems and our health right now. We want our immune systems as well in the natural to be operating absolutely at the most optimal levels. And that is not being emphasized enough in many circles right now. Okay, social distancing is great and washing your hands and whatever else you're doing in terms of that way. But, for people that aren't taking care of their diets, that are not doing intermittent fasting to cause their immune systems to be boosted at this time, that's just, natural wisdom, the way our bodies optimally fight off disease and sickness. So anyway, I just have to say that because, some people are going to hear this and they're not thinking about this. This is common sense, it's wisdom. But two doctors that I really value their perspective on things that are related to health, fitness, nutrition, they were both having a discussion and they said that the typical American diet with all the carbohydrates and sugar that we are consuming in the American diet, any standard Western diet, but also in addition to how often we're eating, starting with breakfast and then snacking and eating all throughout the day, that these habits, both the substance of what we're eating and the frequency in which we're eating is diminishing our immune system by as much as it could be up to 70%. So just imagine that lifestyle, good diet, intermittent fasting, getting rid of sugar can literally cause our immune systems to operate 70% better. I trust these voices that said this, and I just wanted to pass it on. But anyway, just coming back to so much in my heart, so much right now about what is going on. So there's a couple of things too I want to comment on at the end about just the way people are feeling and what people do, because you know Christian leaders out there are giving all sorts of different advice, and much of it seems to contradict. You know, you listen to one Christian leader, one influential voice, he says or she says one thing, and then somebody comes along and says exactly the opposite. And I want to come back to kind of some of that and how we can kind of navigate that. And I think we can try to take the best, but it's really important in these days that we are all personally hearing from God for ourselves and being led by the Spirit. But anyway, just coming back to these growing restrictions and just sharing some things, because I just hope and pray that some of the things that we're doing and trying and experimenting with are actually going to encourage you guys to be creative and to be able to literally get to the people that right now are desperately in fear and do not have any eternal hope, do not have an identity in Christ, do not have an inheritance. Many people don't, they're not connected to any Christians, any followers of Jesus at all. That is definitely the case where we are, where the vast majority of people where I live are Muslims. And then after Muslims, probably, there are quite a few Christians from around the world that live and work here as well. But then probably the second, largest religion, arguably the second largest religion in the country would be Hinduism. So there's so many from the Indian subcontinent here. And there are also Buddhists, but that would come in, a distant fourth after. I don't know if there's more Hindus or, Christians and when I say Christians, anybody who would identify as Christian, I'm kind of, identifying as Christian right now, just for the sake of just kind of painting that picture. So anyway, yesterday I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We went to some shops that were within walking distance on our prayer walk to go and minister to people and just, seek to be fear extinguishers, which is our mandate. I believe many of us would acknowledge that that is our mandate corporately, to be walking in without fear, to be set free from fear, walking in faith, and then helping others enter into that and extinguishing fear wherever we go, So, but yesterday, it was a bit discouraging because they're tightening the restrictions even more. And that's the case where some of you are living and working around the world as well. And so may this help you and inspire you, because you know what? I blogged about this yesterday, that song Waymaker by Leland that is so popular and has been really important in our community here. It's been one of the worship songs that has meant a lot to us. But we didn't know how prophetic that song was going to be, that God, that Jesus truly is a waymaker in these days. And he is making a way. He's making a way for those of us that would seek to live with our love on, would seek to be able to go out and release the kingdom. And again, just hear me, we are doing this in appropriate ways. We are following, we are doing nothing that is violating the governmental guidelines. We're going to open establishments. We're interacting with people with proper distance. But in light of all of this, or in all of this, in all of these contexts, we've been able to pray for people. We've been able to, literally minister to them, to Yeah, mostly praying for them, but sharing words of encouragement and sharing the gospel. Just, I've been that verse, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. I have shared that verse over and over again. We understand that everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved if we call upon him with faith. And so I've been sharing that, with many, many people. But anyway, yesterday as we were walking and we came back into our neighborhood and we were maybe a little bit discouraged, but we just surrendered it to the Lord and we said, okay, God, whatever you want to do, just open new doors, give us new ways by which we can extinguish fear and obey the mandate that you've given us in these days. We've been going now for literally, it's been a couple of weeks now. I think this is day 16 since the Lord spoke this, this mandate to us that you are to be fear extinguishers. So we were doing that before that word came, because this virus was already on the radar and people, even back in January and early February, it was starting to, to creep up and the news was beginning to, where I live in the Middle East, maybe more on the radar than it was in the West at that point. So we were already praying for people and, we were seeing people starting to wear masks and all that stuff. And we were ministering to people and we were going out. But then it was clear when the restrictions started to come and the country started to really shut down, that's when God said, yeah, but you guys aren't to shut down. You guys aren't to stay at home. You guys are to go out and find people who are in fear and extinguish their fear. And that, so, again, I just, not to be redundant, but I think we need to hear that every day. We're all getting, multiple reports and we're going to forget, you might listen to this podcast and then you're going to forget about it. It's something else is going to come in and another message, another emphasis, another truth, another encouragement, whatever. So I'm going to say it, a dozen times or more in the course of this podcast. But anyway, so as we began to walk, we were praying and thanking God and we come upon this large Islamic center and it was shut down. And I was just thinking, God, it's amazing. We pray for mosques and for Islamic centers to be shut down and they are shut down right now. Muslims are not able to gather. And really, in the spirit realm, and there's a spiritual dynamic that takes place when large groups of followers of other ideologies and religions get together, and whatever it is, there is a demonic, spiritual dynamic that is far more complicated and far stronger than when people are just by themselves. And so that's all been taken away in these days. And we were thanking God. And then I noticed that outside of this Islamic center, there was a man, and I assumed he was a Muslim, and I went in, and he was kind of like the security guard or whatever. He was from Bangladesh, so he was Muslim. And I was just able to go in and pray for him. And just in Jesus' name and declare the power of the blood of Jesus over him and over his family. I didn't ask his permission. I didn't say, hey, can I pray for you? I just began to start praying. And I just thought, how amazing that right now the Islamic Center is closed and a couple of Christians walk by and we're able to minister to this man, in Jesus' name, right in front of an Islamic center. Just a couple of minutes after that, we're walking and my wife is able to minister to a Gulf Arab Muslim woman who walked by. And her comment after my wife was done blessing her and really saying a prayer over her was, your morality is amazing, if I translate it literally. What she said to her, she was so touched by that. Anyway, we just kept going. And in the course of our little, hour plus prayer walk, we were able to minister to Christians, to Muslims from a number of different, countries. And, you know, one of the things that's been a challenge in these days is the majority local Arab population here has been fairly isolated. They're the wealthy ones. They live in their big houses and they've kind of isolated. So it's been very hard to connect with them. And the Lord even enabled us in this prayer walk, or enabled me to, you know, because there was three men, and so my wife would walk on, but I was able to minister to three of them in the course of this prayer walk. And so just when one of our opportunities, which was to go into restaurants and we were going into markets and the different places that are still open or were still open, as those are shutting more and more, and as they're tightening our curfew, the Lord was opening new doors. You know, He is the way maker. And I was able to share with a couple of Egyptian Muslims and share with them a resource online that they could get to, just a radical, real born-again Coptic priest who has a ministry of healing and exorcism in Cairo, and he has lots of videos. I think I've mentioned his name before. His name is Father Makari Younan. But anyway, any Egyptian, just they can Google Makari Younan, and they can watch him minister to people. And I've been, you know, even today, I'll come back to today, but just to say this, a couple more Egyptian Muslims came into my home to fix the toilet that is, you know, was running. And I was able to share with them all about the ministry of this guy, Father Makari Younan. And I was able to share with these guys, and I was speaking to them in Arabic. And I just said, you know, guys, you know, in this time, I've learned so much about how to pray for healing and how to pray for protection and how to overcome the works of the devil. I said it exactly like this, by learning how to pray in Arabic from this man in Egypt. And then I shared his name with them. I had it written out in Arabic on my phone. And then so they took the name down. And as they were leaving, they were on YouTube looking him up. I just thought, oh, God is giving us such creative ways right now to share with people and to resource people, you know, because people are so gripped with fear. And these men, all of these Egyptian Muslim men, they're separated now from their families. And, you know, they have aging parents, and the healthcare system in Egypt isn't as developed and as advanced as other places in the world. I'll just leave it at that. And they've got a huge population. And so there's a lot of fear, in Egypt right now. And so, you know, when you tell people that you have learned how to pray for protection and how to overcome the attacks of the enemy and how to pray for healing from a guy, they're like, tell me, you know, what is it that you pray? What are those prayers? So I'm starting to share YouTube videos as well of his prayers in Arabic for Egyptian Muslims. I was able to do that today as well. After they left, I sent one of this man's prayers in Arabic to another guy that I administered to a couple of days ago. So anyway, as we were going, you know, the Lord gave me an opportunity to minister to some local Bedouins. You know, in the Arabian Peninsula, there are those who are Bedouin, and they lived in the desert. And then there are those who were traders and connected with the sea. So there's kind of two groups. And so while I live in a neighborhood that is more connected to the city dwelling, Arabs that were, you know, were involved in pearl diving and fishing and lived on the coast. And yet in my neighborhood, there were two, Bedouin, Arabs that were selling watermelon. And so I was able to inquire about how their business was going and stuff like that. And then I was just able to pray for them and pray over them and tell them that we're praying. You know, I identified myself as a follower of Jesus and just said, we are praying for you, that God would protect you and that God would, you know, heal you and protect your families. And I even, you know, prayed protection over their business as well, because I know it's hurting in this time. And then finally, you know, we were, you know, I was getting a bit like wondering, like, okay, it's our ministry opportunities out are getting narrower and narrower and narrower. They're just tightening the belt more and more. And there's more and more, we're going through more and more, checkpoints with police, and they want to know exactly where people live and where they're going. And if where they're going doesn't match where they live and there's no seeming reason, they're confiscating people's driver's licenses and stuff like that. I mean, it's really getting, you know, fairly strict. So then I was just, we were praying, my wife and I were praying, God, would you give us an opportunity to minister more effectively now to the local population? You know, we've been isolated from them. They've been isolating themselves. But, you know, normally we have lots of contact with them. But during this crisis, during this COVID-19 crisis, we've been fairly isolated, and Ramadan is coming. And so isolation from the local population would be even greater. And so, you know, once Ramadan starts in a few weeks here now, and maybe it's a month away, but anyway, it's starting to gear up for that. And so, you know, the opportunities to minister to the local Muslim population are it's challenging. And so I said, Lord, open doors for us. And as soon as we prayed that, literally within a matter of a minute, probably, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, I get a word of knowledge in the back of my neck. And we, as we're passing by this you know, Gulf Arab man who's, you know, out in front of his house with a hose, watering things down. And so I said, honey, why don't you just walk on? And I'm going to go back. And I just got a word of knowledge. So anyway, I go up to this guy and I explained, you know, I told him I was his neighbor. I was a Christian. And I just tell him honestly what happened. I said, you know, I was walking by you and I didn't, you know, I might have mentioned that we were praying for the country. I don't think in that case I did. But anyway, I just said, you know, as I was walking by you, God revealed to me that you have a neck pain right here. Is that true? And he said, yes, it is. And then I was just able to share with him that God was going to heal him. I was able to pray for him. And just said, you know, what I said is, I said, there's no way that God would have revealed that to me unless he intended to heal you. God reveals because he intends to heal, you know, reveal to heal, you know. And he received that. And then even at the end, I said, hey, you know what, I hope I'm not bothering you. He said, no, absolutely not at all. But see, he's now on my walk. He's on my route. And so God is opening doors. Even as others are shutting, he's opening new doors in new ways. So I just want to encourage people, you know what? If you really want to pray with the lost right now, and you really want to be a fear extinguisher, if you really want to be praying for the sick, if you really want to be praying those prayers like I've been doing, kind of the Jehovah sneaky salvation prayers, like, Lord Jesus, you know, I did this in a McDonald's 2 days ago with 10 Filipinos, maybe one or two Indians, but all of them, I just prayed a corporate prayer of salvation. You know, Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We give our lives to you at this time, you know. And I mean, it was an unprecedented opportunity to pray, you know, like that. And, you know, it was corporate and it was, you know, fairly, you know, shotgun and all that. But guess what? If any of them believed it, you know, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So if any of them believed it, guess what? You know, I don't know. I guess I have to go back and see what happened in the wake of all of this. But anyway, so I just am believing that for any of us, if we will say, God, make a way. I really felt like God highlighted that song yesterday. He is the way maker, miracle worker, you know, promise keeper. He will make a way. And he's a promise keeper. So guess what else he'll do? He'll do Psalm 91 over you and your family. You know, he'll do Luke chapter 10 verse 19, that surely nothing shall harm you. Do we believe that? You know, so much of what we've been, all of these verses and all these promises, especially those of us in this renewal kind of camp, you know, it's all about, oh, we want to, you know, do signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, you know what? If you want to do signs, wonders, and miracles, you got to be out. Jesus wants us out. He wants us. Now, we need to do that within certain, obviously, certain guidelines and all that stuff right now. I mean, I can't, right now, we can't risk. Right now, the fines for violating curfew where I am are up to $50,000. That's what they're saying in the news. Now, I don't know what it looks like if they're warning people first or whatever, but that's the threat, right? So we are operating within the guidelines, you know? And, you know, obviously, you know, we're seeking to obey God, and you know, He's encouraging us to do what we're doing, but to do it with wisdom and within the guidelines. But anyway, just kind of in closing of this podcast, I think there's a couple of things that we need to be honest with. As I've just continued to listen to different Christian voices, I won't mention the names, but there's some people I feel like really have the heartbeat of God at this time and are really walking in fearlessness and faith. And then there's others that in the name of wisdom, in the name of being, you know, whatever, I think that there's a lot of fear. There is a lot of fear. And I think that Christian leaders that have a lot of people that follow them, they're also fearful of, you know, backlash if their people are out or gathering or doing stuff that might, you know, end up, you know, whatever, being, you know, being part of spreading the virus or whatever, you know. So again, don't hear what I'm not saying. But so I think there's a lot of fear right now. And I think that, you know, We've had to be honest daily. Just, God, is there anything I'm fearful about? Where am I fearful about? You know, we can be fearful about the virus. We can be fearful about finances. We can be fearful for our families. We can be fearful for what the future holds. We can be fearful for all sorts of things. There's all sorts of areas that I think we need to get in touch with our fears, and we need to be honest, and we just need to say, God, I'm struggling with fear. Okay, yesterday I was trusting, but maybe today I'm struggling. And I just believe that there's so much grace right now if we will humble ourselves and just say, okay, Lord. And I don't often know, you know, is this, I think I'm walking in faith sometimes, but I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to slip into presumption. I don't want to go further than what you're saying, where you're saying to go, you know? So, but in the middle of it all, I know for a fact that fear is not what God wants for His people. So first of all, we have to overcome fear before we can go out and help extinguish other people's fears. So that's the first thing, is to get in touch with fear. You know, and the second thing I want to say is I'm always a real eclectic both and rather than an either or. I listen to the fiery guys right now, and I don't have to mention names. You probably know who those people are. They're just, you know, kind of scorched earth and really going after the church that is, you know, gone, you know, online and are, you know, and stopped meeting and stopped going out, and they're really going after, you know, kind of with a vengeance. And then you have other people that are saying, no, you know, hashtag stay at home, and let's be wise, and let's honor what the government's saying, and, you know, this thing, whatever. So there's kind of these two camps out there, you know, and you can feel the tension. I want to be a both and guy. I want to be fearless. I want to be reaching out. I want to be interacting, you know, with people. I want to be that person, you know. At the same time, you know, we want to stay away from, you know, being too isolated and zero interaction, you know, in the middle. You know, I think that there are ways God will make a way for us to be interacting with people rather than no interaction, and that He would be leading us to reach out and get out rather than isolating. And I get it. I know some people are really, really effectively right now using the internet, using social media and all of that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of Christians, if they're honest, they're in an echo chamber with a lot of other Christians. And so they're speaking and they think they're connecting, but most of who they're connecting with are other Christians. And so we have to understand that. That's one of the reasons I know that God is giving us opportunities to get out and interact with people that are still, you know, out there, you know, working and out in, you know, in the marketplace and whatever. So, and finally, I would say this, you know, some of the people right now that are reaching out, they've always been reaching out. It's their habit. It's what they do. And that hasn't changed. And, you know, I'm really wired evangelistically and have been seeking to inspire people and mobilize people in evangelism and outreach and just going to the nations and reaching the unreached for decades now, literally for decades, almost 30 years now coming up on. And so, but at the same time, you know, I realized that some of us, if we're honest, we don't reach out that much. We really are not having a lot of, not just during this crisis, but just in general. We're not reaching out, and we haven't been reaching out. And yet we're commanded to reach out. You know, the commandment of God, the word is clear that we are to preach the gospel in season and out of season, and we are all commanded to be doing that. And so if that has not been your habit and it has not been what you have been doing with your life in general, I want to pray that this season would be your activation time. I'm far more interested, and I think that you know, responsible shepherds and are far more interested in where we're going than where we've been, what we're going to do today and tomorrow rather than what we didn't do yesterday. You know, isn't that what we're supposed to do? I forget what lies behind. So maybe you haven't been reaching out. Maybe you have been, you know, I get it. There's a process that many people are going through where, you know, first of all, it's such a shock to our worlds that we're fairly, you know, navel-gazing, myopic in this time, you know, oh my goodness, my plans, you know, it's touching our lives too. I've had all sorts of stuff that's been canceled, life events, you know, all sorts of stuff in our family and plans and everything that has just been taken away. But that's not what I'm focused on. You know, the Lord is giving us the grace to say, okay, yeah, all this stuff has happened and it's happening and it sucks. But what are we doing to love people today? What are we doing to get our eyes off of our little worlds and off of, you know, the places we can't go right now and the restaurants we can't visit and the vacations that have gotten canceled? That's happened for us. The flights that are getting canceled, that's happening for us. The plans that we have had, that's happening for us. The graduations that are not going to happen this year, that's happened to us. You know, I was to perform a wedding coming up, and I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not even be able to probably go to the wedding. We'll see. But, you know, just because our airport's not open, I can't get out of the country, so I can't go do the wedding. So lots of things are changing right now, you know, and for all of us. But I believe the grace of God right now is to get our eyes off of our stuff and to look outside of our little worlds and outside of our little echo chambers and our little social groups, and begin to take a risk to start asking our neighbors and the person we walk by in the market, hey, how are you doing? How are things going? What's happening in your family? Is everybody healthy? How could I pray for you? Let me just pray for you right now. Could I just say a quick prayer? I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. Could I just pray for you? It is so easy. And right now, I've said it again and again and again, and here's the fourth podcast. This opportunity is not going to remain. It's not going to. I know there'll be a new normal on the other side of all this, but there is an openness right now that will not be there when this is over. So I plead with you. I plead with you. Please, may it be motivational. May it be encouraging rather than condemning. May the Spirit of God brood over your life, and that you would be compelled by love and compelled by the fact that you have something. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have something that the world doesn't have right now. You have an inheritance that cannot be taken away. You're a son. You're a daughter. You've been forgiven. You've been empowered. You've been given promises, and you know the way to heaven. You have the message that will set people free. And from whatever it is that they're struggling with, you know, Jesus is the solution. Ultimately, he's the solution. And so, hear my heart. Go today. Go tonight. Whatever. Be fear extinguishers. Pray that God would open doors. Hear my heart. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I've got a fiery side and I've really got a broken side, and, you know, I'm looking at the people that we're getting to minister to and the people that we're getting to pray for. And I'm just saying, oh, I just wish that we could see an army of tens of thousands, if not millions of more Christians around the world taking these opportunities to love, to live with their love on. To become love is one of my favorite guys, Dan Moeller, talks about, you know, becoming love. You know, you're never going to get rebuked by the Lord for being too loving. That's just not going to happen. It's been a point for years I've made, you know, it's not like you're going to get to heaven and God's going to rebuke you. It's like, hey, you know what? I really didn't want you to take all those risks to love people. I didn't want you to take those risks to open your mouth and try to love people and pray for people and extinguish their fear. You're not going to get rebuked for that. You know, if there is going to be a rebuke, if there is going to be regret, it's going to be like, why didn't you open your mouth? Why didn't you understand that I was working in the midst of the storm to bring, he's working everything together for good. He's a redeemer. Believe me, I'm not giving any causation to this or the why. I mean, there are people out there that are doing all sorts of stuff about that. Who cares about that right now? All I know is that we all have a mandate. So let us hear the voice of the Lord. Let us be led by the Spirit. Let us do it with wisdom. Let us do it within the guidelines, but let us do it. So this is DJ, and this is the Joel 2 Generation podcast. This is Fear Extinguishers 4.0.